One made the bullet and one fired it. The daughter of a woman shot dead for being an alleged informant believes the state and the IRA are equally responsible for her mother's death. Last night, BBC Spotlight looked into the murder of Belfast woman Caroline Moreland, a Catholic mother of three. She was abducted and shot dead by the IRA in July 1994. Senior IRA sources have told Spotlight that it is almost certain that one of Caroline's accusers was in fact himself, the senior British agent Stake Knife. That man has been named as Freddy Scapatici. He has always denied being an agent or being involved in any murders. In a harrowing part of last night's Spotlight, a final recording made by Miss Moreland under interrogation before she was shot dead was broadcast.
I really regret getting caught up with these people. I really regret what I've done. They told me that I would go away for at least 25 years and that my children would be taken off me and put into the power of social services. It was at this point that I agreed to work for them. I wish that I had been caught sooner, but I really would advise anybody else that's in this situation to come forward and tell, and not to listen to the things that they tell you, the fear they put in me about what's going to happen to me. Just come forward and tell what you're doing. No harm will come to you and you'll be helped.
The type of information that I passed on would be when the fellas were in my house. The boss sort of said about I was doing a good job and I was saving lives by the information I was giving them. I told him that the only reason I was doing it was because there was no other way out for me.
That's Caroline Moreland speaking in a taped confession before she was murdered by the IRA. We can speak to her daughter, Shauna, who is in the studio with me this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, just when you listen to that, Shauna, let me move that microphone closer to you. Just when you listen to that, it's incredibly difficult for you. Why don't you give me your words?
It is incredibly difficult. The first time I heard it, I didn't recognise my mummy's voice. So the first time I heard it, it wasn't as hard because I didn't recognise her voice. I could have been listening to anybody. The significance of it didn't really hit home to me then. The more I listen to it, you know, I know it's her now. I can recognise her voice now. But the tape has no real significance to me. It doesn't prove anything. She was missing for 15 days. We don't know at which point and what she had suffered before that tape was recorded.
Tell us, there are a lot of allegations and counter-allegations, but let's humanise your mum so that no one can take that away from her. Tell us about her.
She was crazy. She was fun, supportive, strong. She was there for everybody. She was the oldest of eight. She was always there for my granny. She was my granny's big girl, that's what my granny called her. Anybody had a problem, they went to her. Our house was filled with love. Mightn't have been filled with a lot of material things, but it was filled with love and laughter. She loved playing practical jokes on us. We were our world. Everything revolved around us.
And then, with that summary of your mother, we start thinking about how she died.
Yeah.
Who was responsible for her death? Did the British state collude to kill your mother?
I believe so, yeah. I believe she was sacrificed.
It's just unjustifiable. 6 weeks before the ceasefire, of how they could allow a single mother of three to be killed. If she was informing, it was one rifle. That's. 6 weeks later, they were supposed to be giving them all up. So what it won't matter.
You start, no doubt, to ask questions. Who then? The 6 weeks before the IRA ceasefire.
Yeah.
So you start then to ask questions. Who gave the order to kill her?
Yeah.
You start wondering who within the senior command of the IRA, who would have known how close the ceasefire was, presumably, who would have known of the potential of it, decided, well, let's kill her.
Yep. There's names through about and you hear and you know, we all know who it was. I know who it was. And just have to keep going down and fighting. And get her justice.
Obviously, we are not going to name any names in this live radio programme today, but when you say you know who it is this person still alive?
Yeah.
Do you believe the authorities could prosecute?
I believe they could. I don't believe they will.
Why?
Too much to risk for them as well. Too much can come out of it. I still don't, as much as I'm fighting, and I will keep fighting for truth and some sort of justice for my mummy, I do believe there's still, with politicians, with the state, with these, they don't want people to get truth and justice. They don't want a can of worms opened. It's an ugly can of worms that we're trying to open, and they don't want it opened. It's questions they don't want to answer.
But if you are aware of who gave the order to kill your mother and they're still walking around, how are you coping with that?
It's hard. It's hard.
Do you
it's
see
very
them?
Hard. No. No. See them in press and media, but not in your day-to-day, not past them in the street or anything.
But you see this
hard.
Person on television, do you?
Yeah.
So they're quite well-known?
Very well-known.
Talking to us quite often.
Talking to us quite often, yeah.
You believe the British authorities know who they are?
Yes.
Know who this man is?
Yeah, I do. I do believe they do. Yeah.
Do you ever think you'll get the truth?
I think I'll get versions of the truth. People can accuse me of being deluded and accuse me of, you know, I'm just going after a wild goose chase, but I know in my heart what it is that I am out for. I just want some, and I still don't know which form of justice it'll take for my mummy. I don't know what that justice will be, but it's just time that I give her the voice and humanised her again, because the IRA dehumanised her. I just want to give her back Carlene Moreland, and that Carlene Moreland, the alleged IRA victim. Or the alleged IRA informant, sorry. Just Carlene Moreland, pure and simple.
Have you any doubt she was an informer?
No, I don't think she was. I don't believe she was. I would love to sit here today and tell you, no, Stephen, 100% she wasn't. I can't say that. But in my heart, I don't believe she was. I don't believe she should have put herself at risk. Because she wasn't a naive woman. She would have knew the risks.
First and foremost, she was your mother.
Yeah.
How old were you when they killed her?
10. A few weeks after my 10th birthday.
So what's it like when you're waking up and where's mum?
It's very hard. For a number of years, I used to tell myself that I was dreaming. That it was just all a dream, that I would wake up and be 10 and go in and wake her up and tell her I was dreaming, and she would just laugh at me, and tell her my dream, and she would laugh at me and send me out to school. I think that's how I cope with it early on. Just tell myself, it's okay, you're going to wake up from it, she's going to be there.
What was it like growing up as the daughter of an alleged informer?
I was lucky enough that I didn't know that that's how she died until I was 19. So I got through my teenage years thinking it was mistaken identity. It was very hard to find that out at 19, because I was angry that all those years I didn't know. But when I came over the anger, I realised that I was thankful, because I didn't have the stigma or anything that other people have, informants. You know. But that's all. She was an alleged IRA informant, that's it. It doesn't mean that she was one, because they accused her of it doesn't mean that she was.
Well, even if she was, it doesn't justify what happened.
No. No, it doesn't.
What's your last memory to your mum?
The last memories are happy ones, you know.
Can you remember the last time you saw her?
Yeah, clearly. She was in the kitchen getting ready to go off for the day. So I was going over to my granny's, give her a hug and a kiss. It was just a normal goodbye, you know, you didn't think it was the last time you were going to see her. When I got halfway over to my granny's, the dog was following me, so I turned back, brought him home, and she was still there in the house, in the kitchen. And it was just the same, a goodbye again. And that was the last time.
Mr. Scappaticci, as I was denied being a British informant, tried to stop part of the programme from being broadcast.
Yep.
And his lawyers lost a court challenge hours before Tuesday's transmission of the BBC Spotlight programme. What would you say to him this morning?
How can he sleep at night? Why won't he just give people answers? You know, back, like Frank Mulhern said last night on the show, Scapatici back then was willing just to sit and tell Frank how his son died, how he was killed. He'd done the other families as well, victims. So why isn't he willing just to talk to his now and give his answers? Just to answer our questions. It doesn't have to go legal. It doesn't have to sit in a room with me and answer me my questions.
Why would that help?
It would give me closure. I would be able to finally put my mummy to rest. I started this 4 years ago, Stephen, and nobody knew I was doing it. Media, press, nobody knew I was doing it because I didn't go doing it for the public. It was for me and my mummy. And it still is for me and my mummy. This is just the road that it's gone down. To get more answers, I've had to bring it into the public eye.
How do you feel about the British government?
I feel the British government are equally responsible. If my mummy was informing, she'd have had handlers. So where were they during the 15 days that she was missing? If she wasn't informing, then Steak Knife had handlers. So they knew she was missing. They knew what was going on. I do believe that both sides used her as a sacrificial lamb because of the ceasefire.
If that's true, that would be so... maybe I'm being naive, but just when you said out loud, you know, the thought of a state, mm-hmm. obviously many people believe this went on for years, this type of thing. But the thought of a state deciding, oh, we'll sacrifice that human being and that human being. We'll let that human being die.
To play God. Play God. That's all it is. I do believe if the ceasefire hadn't have been so close that she would have been here today. I really do.
So how are you throughout all this now?
I have my bad days, my bad moments, but ultimately I'm okay. I think my mummy keeps me going. I think she sends me down strength to keep me going. Her memory keeps me going.
There's an argument that as a society, we can't handle the truth, that of all the dirty secrets were exposed, that this place could implode, that the peace process could collapse. Do you buy that?
No.
Why?
I think the peace process would be helped along a lot if people were given answers. You know, I'm not out to cause more trouble. I'm not out to cause... I don't want the killings to start again. I don't want people being hurt. I just want closure. And that's all any family that's asking wants. You know, to have your loved one ripped away from you so cruelly. It's not easy. You can't just, you know, there's always answers. Losing someone is hard, but losing someone in this way is just, it's horrendous.
Shauna, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Thank you.